You know, as we were worshiping this morning, for those of you who may or may not know, we do a worship practice before all of you get here. And I think we practiced one of those songs this morning. But I love how the Holy Spirit leads and how that message this morning is about Jesus being alive and about living inside of us. Amen. Isn't that good news? And what a responsibility that we have as believers to share that with people who don't know Jesus or maybe have strayed away from Jesus, that they can too have Jesus living in their heart, giving them life that they've never had. Amen? So we've been in a series. Actually, before I get into that, just to update you, some of you are here that were in our men's group yesterday, was our second week meeting. So our first week we had 6 men. Yesterday we had 10 men, so we filled up the room that we were in. We may have to find a bigger room, but we've got a lot of room in the church to do that. Amen. And it was good as Katie was talking about handing out this gospel to people and the word of God to people. We heard a couple of testimonies yesterday from young men who were driven to Jesus not through a church service, but through circumstances in their life, and know that Jesus doesn't just work in a sanctuary. He works in people's bedrooms. He works through people's trials. He works through people's addiction. He works through people's struggles. And we heard some stories yesterday of people who Jesus renewed their heart in the midst of life struggles. And I love the fact that that's what our living God does. Amen? Our living God will come and meet us right where we are, no matter what's going on, no matter how distant we may be, how obstinate we may be, how resistant we may be, and he'll just meet us there. And it's beautiful to see that happen. And so again, if you're a man, and want to join us on Saturdays, we meet at 1 o'clock. Praise God. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12 again today as we study our series on using God's gifts for his glory. And if you're here this morning, or online this morning, or you're a guest with us, welcome. Maybe you weren't here last week. So I'm going to bring you up to speed just a little bit. What we're doing is a series of messages, and we're going through Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. And we're studying and we're looking at what are known as the motivational gifts of the Spirit. And in other words, we're looking at what motivates us as people, or what moves us, what drives us, what pushes us, and what propels us as believers. What makes you who you are, and drives you to do what you do. I wonder that about Doug most days. I get up and I'm like, what makes Doug the way he is? And what drives Doug to do what he does, right? And what we're really talking about is that gift of a personality that God has given us. And as you study your Bible, you'll discover throughout Scripture that the Bible talks about us being created in the image of God. We see it all through from the beginning to the end. And the fact that we're created in the image of God, it means that we have a spirit. Amen? I said last week, you're not like your dog, you're not like your cat, and you're not like your goldfish, right? You have a spirit. You get to choose to let Jesus live in your heart for eternity. Amen? And the Bible says that God is a spirit. We read in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So believe it or not, if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, believe it or not, when God created you, when God made you, when God molded you in your mother's womb, when God formed you, he placed within your heart or within your body or within you what the Bible calls the spirit of man. Amen? That comes from God. There is no evolution that creates a spirit, right? There's no accident that creates a spirit. There's no science experiment that creates a spirit. God puts the spirit inside of man. We have looked at Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, that says, thus says the Lord, who stretches out heavens, lays out the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Your spirit comes from God. If you believe in God or not this morning, you still have a spirit that came from God. Amen? And so, excuse me, Zechariah is saying that the Bible, in the Bible, that the Lord is the one who forms that spirit of man within him. And it is the spirit of man, all of us have that spirit of man, that is formed in the image of God. Amen? We may all look different. because God made us individuals, but we have that mirror image of God, of our spirit in our heart. And you know, that's the part of you that will live forever. I'm glad my physical body's not going to live forever because it's not always been good to me, right? But my spirit will never die. And I talk to people often that say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe my spirit's going to live forever. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter what you believe, your spirit will live for eternity. Amen? It's either going to go to a place called heaven by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and into your heart as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins, placing your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. And when we place in our faith in Christ and we invite him into our heart, the Bible says that you will live forever in eternity with Jesus in a place called heaven. Or the bad news is, maybe it's good news for some of you, your spirit is going to live forever and ever and ever in a place called hell as a result of rejecting him and his sacrificial death for your sin. It doesn't matter what you believe, who you believe in, whatever. God created a spirit within you that will live for eternity. Amen? And so as we're looking at Romans chapter 12, we're looking through these motivational gifts. And I think the first week I brought up Revelation 1:4. It said, John to the seven churches who are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne. And we talked a little bit about those seven spirits that are mentioned there. I'm not saying that there's seven Holy Spirits. Amen? I'm not saying that there's seven Casper ghosts flying around the thrones of heaven. But there's seven personalities to the Spirit, seven expressions, if you will. And again, we all have a spirit. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. We all have a spirit. That doesn't mean just because you have a spirit, one day you'll automatically go to heaven, right? The Bible says that God gave you that spirit so that you would use that spirit to accept Christ and use the gifts that he's given you, the personality that he's given you, and that is given you as a result of being created in his image, that you might use that gift to glorify him and to advance the body of Christ. That's why we're all here. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here just to look good, right? We're here to glorify God and build the body of Christ. And so the list of these seven motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12 and these seven personalities, we can call them, that are here, are really the expressions, the facets, if you will, that are mentioned in other places of Scripture. And so last week we began kind of a deep dive on these motivational gifts, and we looked at the gift of the prophet. And without going over that long-winded message, for those of you who are here, I just want to touch on a couple of things. Remember, the prophet is the one who has the gift, and they see things in black and white. Remember that? They see things that this is in God's will, this is out of God's will. There's no gray areas for them. He has been gifted, or they have been gifted by God with a gift of perception. And we talked a little bit last week, when we talk about the gift of prophecy, it's not necessarily being able to foretell the future, but to foretell, to have boldness, to share with people, to speak forth the word of God and the truth of the Bible. So, and a prophet has that gift of perception. The person who has the gift of the prophet has the ability to communicate very clearly so that other people see and learn the will of God for their lives. So again, if you were here last week, or if you're here this morning and you're like, that's just not me, I don't talk to people, I keep to myself, I don't do that, I'm not a prophet, or maybe after we get through this message today, you're like, I'm not a server, I want you to say, not to get discouraged, because one day the light bulb will go off and you're going to say that that's me. And I thank God that we're not all created to be prophets. I thank God we're not all created to be servants. I thank God that we're not all created to be Dave Millers, right? We would have a tough morning if we were in a room full of Dave Millers. We love Dave Miller. And you know, we read in 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to read this longer passage because it's so important, verses 12 through 26 of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I'm going to jump to verse 14, Alex. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, but I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And an eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so as we talk about giftings and we talk about how God created us, it's okay, Doug, if you're not a preacher. We need Dougs for other things, right? It's okay, Bonnie, if you're not whatever. We need Bonnies for other things. God has created us all to work together. Amen? God created each one of us and gifted each one of us uniquely. That's how God made you. You're an individual. That's how God molded you. And as a result of being created again in God's image, he's gifted you with that gift of a personality. And so there are four points that we're going to go through today. They'll be similar as we go through each week of these series. But let's read Romans 12, verses 6 and 7 first. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Romans 12, 7 in the English Standard Version says this: if service in our serving, one who teaches in his teaching. So today we're going to look at that gift of servant. If you're using the King James, New King James Version, it says minister or ministering. And so first we'll look at the attributes of the gifts. What makes a servant tick? And we'll talk in a minute that we're all called to be servants, not just a servant. So bear with me. It'll make sense to you in a moment. What makes a servant do what they do? What makes them be who they are? Why do they do the things that they do, right? And so the first thing that we're going to talk about today, about the one who has the gift of the servant and the person, is the personality of the servant. This is where we're going to spend most of our time, is looking at this and then build off from this. So a servant or a server immediately spots a practical need and is driven to meet that need in a quick, thorough manner. Again, verse 7 of Romans 12, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Again, that word ministry here in verse 7 of Romans 12 in the Greek means service. So when we hear ministering, we think of pastoring sometimes, but it means service. And what that word is talking about here is it's talking about doing practical things in the service of others. And so a person with that gift, you'll recognize this in people as I talk about it, or you'll recognize it in yourself. They're always looking for ways and practical ways to serve other people. You know anybody like that? They love to serve other people. They love to take care of people. And they can spot a need, and when they do, they will do everything they can to meet that need. They're very driven. And a server will do something to meet a need in a very practical way. There's usually not fireworks. There's usually not celebration. But they'll find a very practical way to meet that need. And if you happen to say something to a person who has the gift of being a server, that you have a need and something needs to be done, they will do whatever they can to make sure that that need is met, and usually immediately. These are the people that we count on to make sure that needs are met, not just as individuals, but even as a church. This person, when it comes to their personality, this is how God has created them. Their view, sometimes, and this can be negative on their part, is that if you're not really asserting yourself and not really working for God, if you are asserting yourself and you are working for God, we should see practical evidence of that in your life. They should see something being done. And so the person who has this particular gift, to them, actions speak louder than words. I can say, you know what, we should, but they're going to go, well, then let's do. That's just their personality. And so as we looked last week, we looked at Peter, who was kind of that prophet. We're going to look at a person in the Bible who I believe has this gift of ministry and serving. And I want to use Timothy. I can't think of a better person than a young man named Timothy. And if we go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes this. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." Paul, in other words, could be saying something, I don't know anyone else that's going to take care of you like Timothy. I don't know another person out there who's going to come and serve you like Timothy. He's the best there is. He's someone who's going to show you that he cares for you. He will meet your needs and he will serve you. That's Timothy. And what Paul was telling the church at Philippi, and ultimately us, is this: Timothy has that gift, that personality of service, and he would bend over backwards in order to make sure that the needs are met that he will see. Secondly, a server feels a great sense of joy and a great sense of fulfillment from serving others. And it's way beyond what's normally expected. Serving is the essence of a servant. Again, most of you can probably pick in your mind that person has that gift of serving. They're always stepping over and above, trying to, in a joyful way, trying to meet people's needs. The server is everything else. To the server, everything else is talk, right? They want to see words put into action. They want to see that moved out. And a server may actually even, believe it or not, they may judge other believers, if they're not walking in the Spirit, based on whether or not they're actively meeting needs of people. Well, you do a lot of talk, Russ, but I don't see you meeting people's needs. There's something wrong there. And a server just can't understand why Christians don't roll up their sleeves and get to work. So let me make a bit of a disclaimer this morning. You know, at times when all of us are doing practical works for God, if you're a prophet, if you're a server, if you're a teacher, when there's work to be done, we automatically start to look at life through our colored glasses. Well, I am a prophet, so therefore I should handle the situation this way. Doug may be a server, and Doug looks at me going, why are you doing that? This person just needs a need met. And I may be looking at Tom, and I may be going, you know, if that person would just put their heart in Jesus' hands, all their problems would go away. Why are you always there meeting their needs, right? We look at each other through our own colored glasses. And so I, as a prophet, can look at a server and say, can't they see the problem in this person's life? They're meeting needs, but they're not hitting the problem. And sometimes that's not what that server's called to do. They're called just to go meet a need, right? And to be obedient to God. And I may say, can't they see that this person is living a life that needs to get right with God? Nope, they're there to meet a need. Amen? And so when you look at people who have the gift of servants or the gift of mercy, sometimes we look at, don't they get it? What's going on? Don't they understand what's taking place? And my point is this: we have to be careful not to make assumptions that God has gifted everyone the same way he's gifted me and made us all eyes and we see everything that's going on, right? Or God hasn't gifted us all the way he's gifted me and making us all ears and we hear everything that's going on. God has gifted each one of us to look at a situation, and you'll see some examples of this in a little bit, where he wants you to see something I don't see and he wants me to see something you don't see because that's what he wants you to do. Amen? And so a server enjoys doing more than is expected. They love to go the extra mile. They want to meet practical, personal needs of other people. And that's the way Timothy was. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verses 21 and 22, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character." So he's referring to Timothy, "that as a son with his father, he served with me in a gospel way," in the gospel. And so in other words, Paul is saying, Timothy has been like a son to me. He served with me so I could better and more effectively communicate the gospel. Timothy picked some things up. So he's fulfilling with joy, serving others. Number three, and this is probably a downfall of a server. They tend to sacrifice their needs and even their personal health in order to serve others. And I have to speak to myself in this one, because this will make sense for those of you who know me very well. You know, there's an old saying that says the plumber always has leaky pipes, right? He's too busy fixing everybody else's pipes. Or the painter's house is never painted. Or the electrician has electrical work that needs to be done, right? That's the way it is. And at times, the server is so focused on meeting other people's needs that they're ignoring the needs in their own house or their own life. The best way to understand and describe a server is this: a server usually doesn't think about themselves. They don't think about their needs. They don't even think about how their needs should get met. They're too busy focusing on others' needs. It's like they're this Energizer bunny that just keeps going and going and going and going. And what they do is they take care of everyone else's needs, and they neglect things in their own house, in their own family, and sometimes their health will suffer. And what happens is we get so busy serving and meeting the needs of other people, we forget about me. And that I should be focusing sometime on me and God and not just other people. And this will all make sense as I flesh this out. They'll forget that they need to rest until they finally have to rest. Because their body says, you are going to rest. Right? You've been there? And even when their body stops, and those of you who know me know I'm guilty of this, maybe they're in a hospital bed, maybe they're home on the couch, they still can't get up and move because their body says you're going to rest, right? They're still not resting because they're still thinking about how can I meet somebody else's needs? How can I help this person? They're laying in a hospital bed. Those of you who know me know I've been there, laying in a hospital bed, and instead of focusing on me, I'm focusing on other people, right? What can I do to take care of another person? So even as that servant is sitting there getting rest, they're still are supposed to be getting rest, they're still trying to think of ways to meet other people's needs. Number four, a server has difficulty saying no to requests for help. Servers love to help other people, and the server helps or has that desire so much that if they're not careful, your plate is going to get too full. Amen? And they just love to help other people. If you're around a server and you've talked about the fact that maybe your drain is clogged up or your car is broke, don't turn your back on them because they're going to be under your car fixing your car, right? That's just their personality. You'll find them with a wrench in their pocket trying to fix everything on the spot, right? That's what moves them. That's what pushes them. That's what propels them. That's what makes them who they are. And as a result, servers are involved in everything. They're involved in 15 different things at one time. And I'm going to give you a warning here in a moment on that can be good and it cannot be good. And so if you're a server, let me make this statement. If you're not careful, if you become involved in too many things, too many ministries, you can get sidetracked and you can get your plate so full that you're going to get frustrated. Because you can't do everything that you're committed to do. Ever been there? I've committed. Now I'm mad because I can't do everything I've committed to. You know, a server has something in their heart that wants to do things with perfection. And if we overload ourselves, you can't do everything to perfection like you want to. And there are those times that you just have to guess what? You have to say that two-letter word that we all hate. No. Right? One of the characteristics of a server, as I said, it's not just that they want to do the job, they want to do it well. They want to do it in perfection. They want to do it better than it's ever been done before. That's just wired in them. And so if you're a server, and if you're not careful, you'll become burnt out and dried up because you want to do things so well and you're too busy. Amen? And then if you get burned up and dried out, where will the rest of us be that need you as a servant? So if you're here today and you have, or you're online and you have this sneaking suspicion that you're a server, I want to give you a little bit of personal advice. And this advice is for all of us. Make sure that as you work and as you serve the Lord and as you serve other people, make sure while you're meeting the needs of other people that you maintain an intimate fellowship with God of your own. because I can focus all my energy on other people and neglect my relationship with God. And if we're not maintaining an intimate fellowship with God, a close walk with God, daily time in the Word, daily time with Jesus, you will get frustrated. You with me? You're going to get out of line, to be honest. You're going to work under your own power instead of the power of the Holy Spirit because you've not maintained that relationship. You're not going to be working under the energizing power of the Holy Spirit, but you're going to be working on the fleshly power of yourself. And again, all of us, no matter what our giftings are, what God has called us to do, we have to make sure that we maintain that intimate walk and fellowship with God. Because again, if we don't do that, if we're operating under our own power and of your own strength, you have no desire to say no like you should. You're just going to say yes to everything. And there are some things in life, believe it or not, that you need to say no to. That's a hard lesson I've had to learn, especially as I get older and my energy decreases, right? We have to say no to some things. But if we let the Lord prioritize our life, and if I let Him tell me what I should do and what I should say no to, if I let Him tell me what I should be involved in, then I'm going to have the place, I'm going to have the time, and I'm going to have the opportunity to do the things that I need to do with His perfection. Amen? And it's interesting that Paul told Timothy over and over again. He wrote two books to Timothy, right? He talked a lot about Timothy. And he wanted Timothy to know to not overbook, to not overload himself. There are two books in the New Testament, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that are specifically written to him to help him from being overloaded or off track as he served the Lord. Paul said, Timothy, keep your focus. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. You therefore, Timothy, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Here's the word no sometimes. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. What great advice to Timothy, what great advice for us. Don't get yourself tangled up in all this stuff when you're trying to please God who's enlisted you. So Paul is saying, Timothy, look, don't get wrapped up in everything that you lose your focus on why you're doing what you're doing. Make sure that you're serving God, not man. And as we serve each other, yes, that's a blessing to them and a blessing to us and a blessing to us as a body. But ultimately, we're serving other people to serve Jesus. Amen? Not ourselves. Make sure you're ministering to the ministering as unto the Lord. Everything that we do, we're doing unto the Lord. Make sure you maintain that intimate fellowship and relationship with God. Number five, a server enjoys manual projects that require both attention to detail and they have an amazing memory. I love watching servers. Like men who have servers, they're always tinkering and messing with something. You ever go into a guy's garage and all these tools are in perfect order and you need something done and he goes and grabs the right tools, right? They're always putting stuff together, always fixing stuff. They love to be busy doing something. Servers are always fixing food for other people, right? They're making crafts or volunteering to help when somebody's had surgery or is sick or maybe has a need. These are people that don't like to sit behind a desk unless they know that they're sitting behind a desk for a purpose and they're doing something useful, right? Their feet have to be moving. They're always doing something. They're very meticulous. They're very detail-oriented. And they hate clutter, and they usually hate disorganization, right? A woman who has the gift of a servant, and this is not, I'm not saying 100%. There's exceptions to the rule, right? A woman who has the gift of a servant is one who's always cleaning her house. She may have dusted this morning, but she's dusting again this afternoon, right? She may have vacuumed today, but she's vacuuming again tonight. She's always cleaning, always working, always moving. You know anybody like that? The amazing thing, and ladies, this might surprise you, that there are men who know that dirty clothes don't belong on the bed or on the floor, they go in the hamper, right? There are some men that know that. Maybe we don't know anybody like that, but there are some men who know that. And I think about men like that and just people with that gift of a servant heart. A servant loves to be a blessing by remembering and helping with minute details in life. It may be something as trivial as putting your laundry where it belongs, right? But there's something in you that knows that doing it correctly will make your house a much more enjoyable place, right? You all get that? You know, I believe that one of the reasons that Paul loved Timothy so much is that Timothy was so detail-oriented, and he could trust Timothy with the details of life. Look with me at 2 Timothy 4:13. Paul told Timothy, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. Bring the books and especially the parchments." The reason that Paul probably told Timothy to do that is he knows that Timothy will do it. He could trust Timothy with the little details. Bring my cloak, bring my books, bring my parchments. He knew if I tell Timothy to bring these things, Timothy will bring these things. Number six, a servant needs to know exactly what is needed and expected, and they want to be appreciated after the fact. Very quick, if you want a person with a gift of serving to do a job, tell them right up front, this is what I need, this is what I expect. And you can let them go, and they'll just do it. When they're done with what you've told them to do, tell them thank you, because they appreciate that. Amen? I know all of us appreciate to be appreciated. If you don't give a server detailed instructions, their tendency will be to get upset. Bear with me. If you don't show your appreciation, they're going to think, you know, why don't you appreciate me? There's just that, they're wired that way. You know, Paul gave Timothy probably more instruction than anyone else. Again, there's two books written to Timothy. And he was telling Timothy how to be a pastor, and he was telling Timothy how to lead, and he was telling Timothy how to run the church. And Paul often said, you know, here's how, Timothy, this is how you do this. And by the way, Timothy, you're doing a good job. You see that over and over in the books of Timothy. And Paul even told other people that they were to make sure to take care of Timothy, to appreciate Timothy, to tell Timothy that they loved him. And we see in 1 Corinthians 16:10, where Paul says, "And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do." Paul, we know, loved and appreciated Timothy. He's saying, people, make sure that Timothy is not fearful when he gets to you, because he's doing the work of God. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy's a servant, I'm a servant, he's doing the work of the Lord, don't let him be afraid. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 16. "Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren." So Paul is saying, take care of Timothy. Take care of this servant. Show this servant that you love him. Show this servant that you appreciate him, because he needs those kinds of things. Number seven, a servant loves to be around other people. They want to be around other people because they're looking for that opportunity to serve, that opportunity to meet the needs of other people. They love to have people over to their house. You got somebody that every time you talk to them, you got to come for dinner. I made cookies. Come on, eat, right? They love cooking. They love waiting on people. They love to do things that serve other people. They enjoy showing hospitality. And we'll talk about hospitality in a little while. Now, I'll mention it here. Just because you may not be a server, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a prophet, doesn't mean that you don't show hospitality, right? The Bible says that it's always the responsibility of a believer to be hospitable, right? There are those who have that supernatural gift of God to show hospitality and to be a server, but we're all to be hospitable. I'll get the word out. 1 Peter 4:8 and 9. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins." Be hospitable. That's a tough word today, and Dave keeps laughing at me. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I love the fact that, you know what, if we love one another, again, Doug could have, like, kicked my shins, and I can be just ticked off and angry with him, but love covers those sins, right? We're to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Number eight, a servant would rather work on short-term goals. This will make sense in a moment. If you want to drive a server nuts, give him a 5-year project, right? It's going to drive him crazy because they're not typically wired that way. They're wired to make sure, I'm going to get something done right now. I want to see immediate progress. This is what God has wired me for. And the way a server is going to be happy is doing those long-term projects in bite-sized pieces. I've got this done, now I move to this. I've got that done, I move to that. Servers are dependable. You can always count on a server to finish an assignment on time and correctly. But the problem with a server at times is that a server has to recognize that Christian life is not a sprint. I don't wake up in the morning and just do my whole life for God today and I'm done, right? The Christian life is not a short-term project. The Christian life is a marathon. It's a lifelong process. And if you're not careful as a servant, you will become frustrated and upset because you're trying to get everything done today. Ever been there? If you're a servant, let me give you a piece of advice that's going to save you a lot of hardship and a lot of heartache. One day at a time, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. You know, that's one thing with Camden that I constantly have to remind him. You're worrying about something that's going to happen next week or may happen next week, and we've got all this stuff to get done today. So quit worrying about something you have no control over. And you can start to see the wheels turn and the peace kind of fill him again because he's worrying about something that's days away that may not even happen. And so as a servant, again, God has wired you that way, and that's okay, but it's important to recognize that. You can't fix everything today. Amen? One of the things that you'll know or see in Paul's letter to Timothy is that Paul repeats that theme of endurance over and over and over. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." He's saying spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in the things that you know. Continue in them. Do that, and you will save both yourself and those who hear. Number 8, we're almost through these. A server feels sometimes inadequate in a leadership role. And again, typically, this is not a rule. Typically, a servant is not a leader. They typically don't operate that way. They just want to do practical things. I just want to help. I just want to get some things done. And if we're not careful, we can push someone with that gift of servanthood out in the front as a leader against their will. And again, you don't have to be in the front leading to be an effective believer. Good servants behind the scenes doing what God tells them to do are just as godly as a leader. Amen? You don't have to be on the front lines. They are just as needed, just as beneficial as those out in front. We can't do as leaders what we do leading without those serving, right? My wife is, those of you who know my wife, is a servant. She would never stand up here and lead and teach you, right? But she's behind the scenes serving like you wouldn't believe. That's how we accomplish ministry. That's how God has wired us. She's the ear, I'm the eye, right? She's a different body part than I am. The last one, a servant operates with a great deal of energy and stamina. A servant has 3 speeds. You ready? Fast, faster, and fastest. They're always moving. If you know a servant, they're always on the go. They're hustling. And that may be you. They seem to have this unlimited amount of energy. They seem to get by with a whole lot less sleep than the rest of us. Servers have this ultimate supply of energy. Because they're operating, when they're operating in the Spirit, they seem to be tireless because God has rejuvenated them. They're operating on the power and the energy that God gives him through the Holy Spirit. Timothy was a very energetic, enthusiastic young man. We see in chapter 4, verse 1 Timothy, verses 12 and 13, "Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And it's Paul telling Timothy to maintain that youthful energy, maintain that youthful approach to ministry, give attention to those details. So that is a long way to say that's a personality of a server. But if a server is not careful, if a server is not walking in the Spirit, we talked about this last week with the prophet, you're going to have those who misunderstand why the servant is doing what they're doing. If a servant is not careful, they come across as they're promoting themselves. Look what I've done. Look at me. I'm a good boy, right? Servants don't like committees, usually. They don't like bureaucracy. They don't like red tape. They don't like the red tape that prophets like, right? And administrators and leaders like. If you're a server, if you're not careful, you're going to want to get something done, and you're going to say, who cares about rules and regulations? I just want to get this done, right? There are reasons why rules and regulations are there. I, as a leader, I want to know why things operate the way they do, right? I want to know how things operate the way they do. I want to know the rules, right? You as a servant may not. The servant, if they're not careful, will come in like a bull in a china shop. I'm going to come in, I'm going to solve all these problems, and I'm going to knock everybody out of the way while I do it. And they can come across as they're trying to promote themselves and tear everything up, right? We all know when that happens. Or they'll come across like they're doing what they do because they want praise and they want approval of people. Be very, very careful, no matter what we're doing for God, that we're not trying to bring that attention to ourselves. So like we did last week, I'm going to give you 7 points of serving in the Spirit. You don't need to write these down. We've already went through them, but just in summary. If we're serving in the Spirit, 7 characteristics of a server. Number one is they're very alert. They can see things. That's what we talked about before. They can see needs and see those needs have to be met. Number two is hospitality, right? They love to serve. Come to my house. I'll cook you dinner. I'll cook dinner for you. Better not cook you dinner. I'll cook dinner for you. I'll bring something because you had surgery. I'll step up. You see that they're hospitable. Number three, they're very generous. They'll give you the shirt off their back. If you tell a server, I have a need, they'll do everything they can to meet that need. They'll give you of their own to meet that need. Number four, they're available. They're always there to help you. They're ready to serve. They're available. Number five, this will hit a thread in some of you. Servants are usually flexible. They don't get all upset because you were supposed to be here at 9 and it's now 9:30, right? They're just flexible. They kind of go with the flow. If you go up to a prophet and you say, and the prophet says, you're supposed to be here at 9 and you're here at 9:30, it's black and white, right? You just broke the rule. You were supposed to be here at 9. A servant is very flexible. They'll just come when they're ready to come and they'll go when they're ready to go, right? Number six, they have endurance. They can go, 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 and go, and they don't stop. And number seven, they have joy. So a servant in the Spirit, alert, hospitable, generous, available, flexible, endurance, and joy. When we use that gift of serving in the flesh, this is what we have to be careful of. We become insensitive if we're working by the flesh. It is possible, because we're human, for any of us to get into the flesh. And when a servant gets into the flesh, they're going to be insensitive. Number two is seclusion, not hospitality. When a serving person is in the flesh, they become secluded. Don't come to my house. I don't want to see anybody. I'm secluded. Number three is not generosity. It's stinginess, right? I'm not giving you anything. I'm not giving. I'm not giving. I'm not fixing you dinner. I'm not giving you anything. I'm stingy, right? I'm operating in the flesh. Number four is detachment. So they're detached. Leave me alone. I don't want to see you. Number five is being rigid. You're supposed to be here at this time. You're not. Right? The flexibility goes away. Number six is resignation. When we operate in the flesh, it's that I give up. I can't do this anymore. I quit. I'm done. And number seven is frustration. Amen. All the things that we do for God need to be done in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. Finally, let's look at the advancements of the gifts. If you're here today and you have the gift of being a servant, let me tell you why you're so needed in the body of Christ. Because all of us, again, are called to be servants. We've talked about that. But the way that we learn as prophets, the way we learn as teachers, the way you learn as all these other gifts to be a servant is watching those who are gifted servants. God has equipped servants. God has made people servants. God has molded people servants. God formed and fashioned those who are called servants the way that they are. And the rest of us who aren't servants, we need to learn how to be better servants of Jesus Christ. And we do that by watching you in action. So if you're here today and you have that gift, again, make sure you're walking in the Spirit. Amen? Make sure you operate, no matter what God calls you to do, in the Spirit. Because that's how you demonstrate to other people what it's meant to be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. That's how people see this is how Jesus would live his life. Amen? How many of you stand as I close? Again, we're all called as servants. Amen? I'm not giving you a pass today. Well, I'm not a servant, so I'm going to sit back, right? But some of us have been gifted with that gift of ministry and that gift of serving. And you know, of all the people in the Bible, Jesus was the perfect example of a servant. And we see in Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in the appearance, let me read that again, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And you know, we know what Jesus did for us. And we know that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is sweating blood drops, right? Drops of blood as sweat, asking God, if this cup can pass from me, God, please take it. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What a beautiful expression of a servant. Amen? Jesus, who came, God in the flesh, gave his life for each one of us so that we can live. We've been singing about Jesus being alive and living in us so that we can have eternal life. I love the fact this morning that being in Christ's presence and living for Jesus doesn't only bring our comfort, because it's comfortable knowing, man, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. But it also helps him to bring control into our lives. Because when we live our lives for ourselves, when we live our lives for our flesh, I'm not in control, am I? I'm just doing things that make me feel good. I'm doing things that make me happy. I'm doing things I want to do. But the presence of God in our lives gives us that control, gives us that desire to be obedient to him. And when we're under his control, we're under everything that he is, aren't we? And so being a servant like Christ really cuts against the grain of everything that's in us. Because really how we're wired in the flesh is I want what's good for me. I want to think about myself, and it's all about I, right? That's our flesh. That's our fleshly desires. Yes, there's people in this world who are not believers who love to give to other people. But you're wired in the flesh to take care of the flesh. And when we're in the control of the Spirit and living by the Holy Spirit, it's all about what he would want us to do. Jesus said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And so being a servant in this world cuts against everything that the world system is today. It defies everything the world stands for, because it's all about, I need more money, I need more material things, I need more, I need more, I need more. And it breaks down, though, the standards. Serving Christ and being a servant of Christ breaks down kind of the standards of that individualism. It's not just about me anymore, but it's about the body of Christ. It breaks down that self-promotion. I'm trying to do things for me, and really what we're trying to do is glorify God in everything we do. It breaks down demanding that my rights be met. Well, I'm an individual. I have these rights. You can't do this to me, right? It's really about, God, what do I do to glorify you? And so being a servant this morning, no matter what God has called us to do as a gift, we all have that servant heart because Christ is in us and he was a servant. And being a servant means leaving all that is of the flesh, amen, at the cross of Calvary, because that's what he died for. He died for us to lay it down at his feet and say, Jesus, here it is. So as I close this morning, as I pray, if you need prayer this morning, if you want to deepen your relationship with God, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. If you have any other needs that you would like prayer for, if you're online this morning and you need prayer, please let us know. We're here to pray for you, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? So, Lord God, we just thank you, first of all, that you are alive. Lord, that you are living. Lord, that you're with us today. And Lord, we don't serve a dead God, a God who was crucified on the cross, buried in the tomb, and stayed there, Lord, but you rose from the dead 3 days later. And you sent that Holy Spirit, Lord, to live inside of each one of us. So God, I thank you this morning that we have the life of Christ in our hearts. Lord, those of us that believe, we have the life of Christ inside of us. And God, I thank you for that gift of the Spirit, the gift that we have to choose to live for you, to choose to give our hearts to Jesus, to choose to be obedient to Jesus. God, I thank you that you've gifted us that gift of the Spirit. Lord, and as believers, you have gifted us the Word of God, Lord, to understand everything that you've done for us, to see what you've done for us. God, I thank you that as we even pray this morning, that your Holy Spirit speaks to every person that's here. And you speak to every heart that has a need, a physical need or an emotional need or a spiritual need. And you show them today, Lord, that you are real, that you are alive, and that you do want to work in their heart. And so, God, I thank you that no matter what's happening in our lives, that we can lay that at the foot of the cross. And, Lord, we may not see an immediate answer, but you have the answer for us. Lord, whatever frustration, whatever struggle we're dealing with, if it's a physical struggle, a spiritual struggle, an emotional struggle, Lord, you have the answer to that problem. So, God, I thank you that we've not have to go through anything. We don't have to go through anything that you haven't been through. Lord, I thank you that we have the Word of God at our disposal, that we can seek the Word of God, we can sift through the Word of God and find exactly what you want to speak to us this morning. So, God, I pray as we close today that you let your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us, Lord. Teach us what you want to teach us. Show us what you want to show us. Lord, let us be available and open our hearts to you to do that. Lord, because we can close that door of the heart and we can say, okay, great, great time in church. I'm done. I'm going home. Or we can just open that to you and say, God, speak to me. Tell me what you want to tell me today. Let me listen to you today. God, I know that you want to speak to each one, Lord, and it may be all different. So I thank you for that. We love and thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen.